Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Will Duffy, the founder of the Collaborators Project, has been in a debate about theology on the internet, and it's a short debate, but his opponent took 4 months to reply to the last post, and so I thought I'd ask Will Duffy to join me on today's show. Will, thanks for being here in studio.
Hey, Bob, no problem.
So, Will, the topic of this debate is this: is the future settled or open? How could people find this debate if they want to read it? We'll go through it right now on the air.
Yeah, they just need to go to theologyweb.com. That's theologyweb.com. Mm-hmm. And you'll need to register, actually, okay, to read this.
All right.
And in the forum section of the website, there's a section called the gym, G-Y-M.
The gym.
And the part of the gym we're debating is called the basketball court.
It's a one-on-one battle. A one-on-one battle. So is the future settled or open? And you're debating this Joltus.
Yeah, Joltus is my opponent.
So I'd like to start reading this, and I think people listening will be fascinated by these basic ideas about God and the future. And it also, clear thinking about God and his word helps us to think clearly about social issues, moral issues. So this is really powerful stuff. So, okay, basketball court. Is the future settled or open? This is Will Duffy versus Joltus. And it's introduced here. Joltus and I will be debating open theism. Now, that's the question of whether the future is settled or open. And it's called open theism. And you write, I am an open theist. We will be trying to answer the question, is the future settled or open? And you say, hope this will be edifying to all. So, Will, I'd like to read your first post, and you can interrupt me if you'd like to, but it's real direct here. You start out, is God free? Question mark. Is God free? I'd like to start with a question. Is God free? The debate over God's knowledge and the future has long been incorrectly focused on man. For ages, people have wrestled with reconciling God's knowledge of the future with man's freedom. Well, the open theism movement is beginning to ask new questions. And this is true. You're right on here. This is good. Turning this highly important debate back to God himself, the question is God free? What about God's knowledge before he created man, the heavens and the earth? The answer to these questions and others like it will be very revealing in determining whether or not the future is settled or open. So then you ask again, is God free?
Yeah, Bob, God's freedom is really at the heart of this debate, and that's what people need to realize. It's not about man, it's about God.
Yeah, because the answer to this question was true, obviously, in eons past, before the foundation of the world.
Before man.
Before man. Man doesn't define God, not at all. So, okay, so let's continue. You write, yes, God is free. So you ask the question, is God free? And you answer it, yes, God is free. I'm not sure anyone would disagree with this. God freely created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. He wasn't forced to create, nor was he coerced into doing so, but God is free. But what are the ramifications of this? If God is free, can the future be settled? The answer is no.
That's right.
That is really fundamental and direct.
I think you'll be hard-pressed to find a Christian that won't admit God is free and that won't admit God was free to create the heavens and the earth.
So even though there's some disagreement, obviously, about this issue of is the future settled or open, you're saying most Christians will acknowledge the foundational issue that God is free.
Yeah, it's common ground with Christians, and it's a very simple truth to understand and admit.
So you're right. Let's take a look back into the past. Joltus, did God have any say in the matter when it came to creating the heavens and the earth? Did God consciously decide to create, or rather, did he merely foresee that he would create? Like, if the future was settled and he just had to create, then he wouldn't have had a choice. That's
yeah, he
the
would,
idea.
Yeah, he wouldn't be free.
Yeah, did God have to create the way he did, or could he have done it another way? Was God forced to create on a certain day, or could he have created on a different day? Basically, is God free? Then you write, my view of God, our free God, is that God was indeed free to create. Sometime in the distant past, the triune God made the free decision to create the heavens and the earth, and decided to make man to fellowship with him. He freely designed his creation. He was not bound by any type of foreknowledge. And I think your point there is, God decided what man would look like.
Yeah, he didn't foresee it. It was his own decision.
He decided. He came up with the design. It's not like he had to do it that way because it was eternally decreed that man had to have two ears.
Yeah, it's God's design. He did it. He freely decided.
Yeah, I'm glad we have two ears, but God is the one who came up with that. He came up with it. It's not like he was compelled to make us that we'd have hair on top of our heads. Okay, so let's continue here. He created when he wanted to, how he wanted to, and was not stuck in some sort of fate having to do it in a certain way or on a certain day. Our God is free, and if God is free, the future is open. Okay.
It's pretty powerful, Bob. It's very simple and very powerful.
It is very powerful because Christians have mostly focused on, is man free? And then they argue about the future, whether it's open or settled. But this takes the question to a more fundamental level where the discussion should have really been all along. Is God free? Okay, because when we talk about the future is settled, some people find that comforting. They like that idea, that the future is settled. If you have four kids, if two end up in heaven, two end up in hell, it has nothing to do with any factor other than it's settled. It's settled. No matter if you're a Calvinist or an Arminian, if you think it's settled, it's settled.
Yeah, they're happy when they get married to this settled wife that they have until they get divorced.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And so this asks the question, if the future is settled, then what does that mean about God? Not even God could do something differently? So let's continue. Now we go to Joltus, to his reply, and he puts as his headline regarding the question, is God free? And he makes 3 points. And his 3 points are, first, he says, I do not think God is completely free. Okay, and you didn't ask if God was completely free, right?
Yeah, that should be a tip to the audience that this is some sort of obfuscation.
That's a bit of an obfuscation. He goes on to say that he believes God is limited by the laws of logic, etc. And of course, you have to take time out in your next post to say, I agree with that. I'm not talking about is God completely free, like he could violate the laws of logic, like can he make another God equal to himself? Like, can he make worshiping the devil a good thing? You're not saying anything like that.
Yeah, the questions were a lot more simple than that. Was God free to create? Could he have created differently?
Yeah, right. So, okay. So Joltus says, I don't think God is completely free, like he can violate the laws of logic. Fine, that's fine. That's a bit of a distraction to your argument. Then his second point, I do believe creation was a free action. So Joltus, who's arguing that the future is settled, and presumably that it was always settled, he says, I do believe creation was a free action. That's a good development.
Yeah, it is a good development, and I don't think he can really answer any other way. To somehow argue that God is not free is troubling when he's trying to argue that man is free.
Right. So then Joltus concludes his reply here. He concludes, is God free? Yes. Is God absolutely free? No. And again,
confusion, but we can work past that.
Yeah. Okay. So now this is your second post. This is the second round on this debate. Is the future settled or open at theologyweb.com? Will Duffy versus Joltus. So your heading is creation. And you write, Joltus, thanks for your reply. And then you quote him where he says, I don't think God is completely free. He's limited by the laws of logic, etc. And you write, I'm happy to say that we are in agreement here. Since God is truth, the laws of logic cannot be broken. And since God is good, he cannot do evil and remain righteous. And I like, Will, how you bring it to a biblical foundation. God is truth. God is good. We see these things in the Bible. So you say, since God is truth, the laws of logic cannot be broken. Like something can't be true and false at the same time in the same way. Something's true or false. So since God is truth, the laws of logic cannot be broken. And since God is good, he cannot do evil and remain righteous. However, those observations go beyond the scope of my first round argument. This next reply of yours is, however, completely on topic. And you quote Joltus saying, I believe creation was a free action.
That's right. He admitted it. So that's where we start. We go from there.
This is really good. This is a good development that he did not obfuscate. He says, I believe creation was a free action.
Yeah, as we move on, we'll see that if creation was a free action, the future is open and not settled.
The future has to be open.
That's the goal.
God can either create or not. He could decide to create. It's not like he has no choice. He has to create. Okay, so we'll continue your post, Will Duffy. You quote Joltus, where he wrote, I do believe creation was a free action. Then you go on to say, this is at the heart of the open theism debate. And you are absolutely right. God's creation was free. But what does this mean? I think it will show that the future is not settled, but open. Since God was free to create the heavens and the earth, what does that mean? It means that God was free not to create. So he's free to not create.
Yeah, it sounds infantile, but it's really important. God did not have to create.
Mm-hmm.
It was his decision. He either could have created or he could have chose not to.
Right. Or, you know, particularly how he did it or the day that he did it. You know, we could tell from the account in Genesis that God created on a certain day. He created on Sunday, and Saturday, the Sabbath, was the seventh day. Could he have created on Monday?
Of course.
Of course he could have.
That's what freedom is, the ability to do otherwise.
Yeah, freedom is the ability to do otherwise, and a will is the ability to decide otherwise. So is God free? Okay, so you go on to say that, what does it mean that God was free, that creation was free? It means he could have not created. He wasn't forced to create. He wasn't coerced to create. God freely created the heavens and the earth and had the ability not to. Great point. And then secondly, you're right, it means that God was free to create the heavens and the earth differently than he did. Like he put a certain number of fish in the ocean, right? Could he have put one more fish in the ocean?
Of course.
Of course he could have. Could he put a different stripe on a skunk? Sure he could have. He's
now,
God.
Now, the argument against this is that how God did it is perfect.
Right.
And somehow if he would have done it differently, it would be less than perfect. But that gets you into trouble because then again, you only have one choice for God.
Like God could not have chosen to put a different kind of stripe on a zebra.
Exactly.
He could only do it one way. And so then God is trapped in fate. Fate required that God made a zebra with certain kinds of stripes and that's it. And that, of course, is silly. An artist, you know, is drawing on a canvas. He has a virtually infinite amount of possibilities. And when he writes a song, he does music, he draws a picture.
Yeah, and the reality is God could have created many different perfect ways.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reality.
Mm-hmm. God designed the beautiful universe and did so freely. No one or nothing told God how he was to create. God freely created what he did, and this means he had the ability to do it differently. I'm not saying that God could have created impossibilities like square circles, good demons, or a duplicate God.
Yeah, that right there is planning ahead.
Yeah, you're planning ahead for what is likely to come. And a lot of Christians will use the example, could God create a rock so big he can't lift it and then lift it? And that's fine. That's an okay example. I think this is better. Could God make a duplicate God? No, he cannot. So you're not claiming that God could have done impossibilities, but just that he could have created differently, more butterflies, etc. God was free to create, and since God was not forced by anyone or anything to create, the future was open and not settled. If the future was settled, God would have had to create the exact same way the future said he would. But our God is free and the future is open. So you ask him a question now. Joltis, did God have the ability to create any differently than he did?
Wow, now that's a good question.
That is a good question. And I don't think he really answers that question. We'll see, right?
We'll see.
The next logical question in this debate is whether or not God remains free to create. Oh, that is good.
That's right.
The next logical question is whether or not God remains free to create. If he was free originally to create, can he still create? Can he write a new song? Can he make a new butterfly, a new flower? Can God do that? Or has he exhausted his creativeness? He's just flat out of designs. Every design he would ever come up with has already been brought into existence.
Yeah, this is really the next logical step. You know, we established that the future was open and that God was free.
Mm-hmm.
And then we established that it wouldn't be any different now.
Yeah.
And anybody in this debate would realize that's where I'm going to go, which would make them hesitant to answer these original questions.
Mm. So the next logical question in this debate is whether or not God remains free to create. Can God still create? Of course, we know from the Bible he's going to make the new heaven and the new earth. But the question here is, can he call into existence a new design? Can he write a new song? The Bible is God's word. It has a lot of songs in it. Can God write a new song? Or has he written every song he ever will write? Is he still creative? So you write, is God eternally creative? Or has he lost that ability? I believe the answer is yes, God is eternally creative. And so those who believe that the future is settled, well, they have those two problems. First, is God still creative? And secondly, was he ever creative? Because if he was creative, if he could call into existence a design or a song that had not previously ever been in existence, then that meant that the future was not settled. God brought something into existence that had not existed, a design.
Yeah, basically we're going to ask, can God do something new? And really at its foundation, asking if God is still creative is really asking, is God still free?
Mm. Is God still free? So, Joltis, you wrote that you, quote, believe creation was a free action. And you put was as bold. You're calling attention to the verb he used past tense. That, Joltis, you wrote that, quote, you believe creation was a free action. Let's take that further. Do you believe God remains free? Okay. All right. So now Joltis responds, and his headline is just like yours, creation. And he quotes you where you said, I'm happy to say we are in agreement here. Since God is truth, the laws of logic cannot be broken. Since God is good, he cannot do evil and remain righteous. Okay, so Joltis writes, we do have to have some foundation from which to debate, hence me positing a starting point in God's character. Well, that's...
Yeah, that's fine.
Fine, right? That's fine. Then he quotes you again at some length, and he says, I totally agree with point one. So he quoted you saying this, God's creation was free, but what does this mean? I think it will show that the future is not settled but open. Since God was free to create the heavens and the earth, what does that mean? Point one, and Joltis says he agrees with this. Point one, it means that God was free not to create. He says he agrees. He says he totally agrees.
Totally agrees.
Will, it seems like, unless he's going to go and recant, it seems like you won the debate already.
Yeah, he may have to. A lot of times in these debates, people, you know, will admit these simple truths, and then when they realize how devastating it is to their theological position, they'll actually consider recanting.
That happened in the battle royale that you were in at theologyonline.com. Is it a sin to vote for John McCain? You guys, you and Jim Schofield, you guys just whooped up on your opponents. And that fifth round post, it's just stunning. And your opponents had to come back and say our earlier answers were wrong. We take them back.
Yeah, in our debate, is it immoral to vote for John McCain? We showed a picture of an unborn baby. And we asked them if it would be immoral to vote for a presidential candidate that said he was willing to kill that innocent baby.
Right.
And, of course,
their first answer is that would be immoral.
That would be immoral.
And so what that led me to believe at that point, they're in this debate, they actually thought John McCain was pro-life.
That's right. They actually, they knew because they have a brain, yes, it's immoral to vote for somebody willing to kill this innocent child. But then once we proved that John McCain was willing to kill it, they had
not only that child, but millions of other children you
can
kill with his support.
That's right.
Right. And so they were, I don't know, before that debate, Battle Royale 13 started, they must have been drinking their own Kool-Aid or something. They just believed that John McCain was pro-life because they heard it from National Right to Life, 100% pro-life rating.
Yeah, and you know, what should happen is when somebody realizes that they believe something that wasn't true, the correct answer is, you know, okay, now we agree that it's immoral, instead of, okay, now we don't agree that it's immoral to kill this child.
Right, so when they acknowledge a simple truth, but then later have to go back and recant because their conclusion is now threatened. All right, so Jalthus says, I agree. I totally agree that God was free to not create. And he says, I agree with your explanation of it. In fact, I find it to be a problem of Calvinism that forces God to create, since some hold that God's happiness is based on his sovereignty, and sovereignty needs people to be sovereign over, and thus creation is necessary for God's happiness. You will never hear that from an Arminian. So this guy, Jalthus, he's an Arminian, which means he believes that the future is settled, but yet we have free will. Right?
That's right,
that's
yeah.
What he believes. And so for him to say God is free is somewhat consistent with the part of, yeah, we have free will. Oh, yeah, God is free, but the future still is settled. There's a big disconnect there.
Yeah, his point about sovereignty is actually right on. Sovereignty is not an eternal attribute.
Sovereignty is not an eternal attribute of God. It requires the creation.
That's right.
Yeah. And a lot of people get into trouble when they think that one of the essential attributes of God is sovereignty. That means God can't be God essentially unless he has somebody to boss around. It's not true. God is God for eternity past, before the foundation of the earth. So then he writes, he quotes your point number two, where you said, this means that God was free to create the heavens and the earth differently than he did. And Jalthus says, I disagree here, but more out of ignorance than knowledge. Let me explain. So he says God could not have created differently. That implies that he had no choice. Either he's going to create or not, but once he's going to create, that's it. He's got to put that stripe on that skunk in that way. He has no choice. I mean, that's absurd.
It's bizarre.
So a zebra has to look that way. God never had an ability to even influence the way a zebra would look.
And what about a new species?
A new species.
That he didn't create.
How long Eve's hair was. When God made Eve, her hair was a certain length. A quarter inch different? And what? God would have broke? God had no choice? It was fatalistic? It had to be a certain length?
That's stupid.
It is. It's a non sequitur. Okay, so he writes, it is certainly possible that God could have created otherwise, but he did not. Now, we know he didn't. Right. That's not the question. There stands to reason that God had specific reasons for making this particular world with the particular makeup he gave it. That's true. But they were his reasons that he came up with. God is unlikely, I would say it is impossible, but do not want to debate this point. God is unlikely to have created something he thought of as less than perfect, even knowing possible or probable outcomes, assuming God has limited knowledge of the future. Thus, I would say God's character, goodness, love, omnipotence, knowledge, etc., pushed him toward creating the world he thought would turn out the best. Therefore, I do not think God was free to create any possible world simply because many possible worlds would go against his character.
And of course, we didn't say that.
Right.
The argument was not any possible world. It was even the slightest variation.
Right.
Even something that's amoral.
Right. Like, let's say a creature that lives so far under the surface of the ocean, it's in total darkness. Could God have put another spot on it? Okay. Now, and Will, by the way, we're getting wonderful comments from people listening to the show. We decided not to take calls because there's so much to talk about in this debate, and we're almost out of time. Let's continue one more quote from Joltus, but then we'll continue this tomorrow. All right? Okay. So Joltus says that, well, if God would have created differently, maybe that would have messed up in some way. Like he couldn't put another spot on a peacock's feathers.
And yeah, that really would have messed things up right there.
That would have messed things up. So he writes, thus I would say God's character, goodness, love, omnipotence, pushed him to create this kind of world. Then he quotes you, God was free to create. And since God was not forced by anyone or anything to create, the future was open and not settled. I'd like to end it right there. And Will, if you could, join me. We'll continue this. We'll see if we can do that tomorrow.
That'd be great.
And we should be able to get through the rest of the debate because we're halfway through. This will be fun.
It's a short but powerful debate.
Very short, very powerful. At theologyweb.com. We'll link to it in today's show summary.
Sounds good.
All right. Will Duffy, thank you. I am so thrilled, really, to work with Will because his passion to save the unborn, to save children, it's not in isolation from his desire to know God, to understand God's word, to teach people the Bible. Will Duffy teaches Greek classes, teaches people how to read the Greek language so they could read the New Testament in Greek. So with Will, we've got a full service, full package here. It's really a lot of fun working with him. Hey, we're out of time in Arvada, Colorado, Maranatha Christian Center. What a great school. And you can get our Bible resources by calling us. We're at kgov.com.